we know that the social world we exist in is shifting, and that gender roles of the past are far less rigid or expected to be upheld. And I know you've sort of spoken about this already, but how do you think those gender roles in sort of all spheres of a person's life affects men's mental health? And do you think this shift in sort of social structure and gender norms is bringing both positives and negatives?
So yeah, I definitely think there are positives and negatives to what's happening. I think on the general, I would say the positives far outweigh the negatives, and some of the negatives are maybe misplaced. So the traditional role of what we think of when we think of the sort of so there's two kind of things. So one is the sort of internal masculinity, and two is the sort of external, you know, how that masculinity interacts with the world and social structure around them. So, you know, when we think of the traditional sort of heteronormal view of masculinity, we think of the provider, you know, this the guy who goes out, he works hard, he comes back, you know, and there's a traditional gender role of, you know, his wife who will cook and what and do that. And that's not to say that in all those relationships there's a distinct power dynamic, or that there is a, you know, any kind of power discrepancy, because a lot of the time both people buy into that role. But recently, not recently, I think for a while, but now with newer dynamics that have emerged, you know, where there could be a stay-at-home dad who would stay home and look after the kids while mom goes to work, you know, both partners working. All of that, I think, is remarkably positive, but it also presents new ways for people to interact. And I think what happens a lot of the time is that there is a sort of guttural response to, you know, push back against people who believe that they are, that their role in society is being threatened. So, you know, if you are of the more traditional mindset, you know, it can often feel that society is now putting pressure on you to change and be different. Otherwise, you will be cast in a negative and bad light because you'll be seen as not progressive, not for equality. And that's not always the case. And I think that when people feel threatened like that, they tend to lash out and they say stupid things in frustration, trying to defend themselves. And then they may veer off into more extreme ideology. I think a better way for men especially to think about that kind of thing is, it's not that the traditional value structure is being thrown away. It's more that it's now being a choice. It's being, instead of it now being the default choice that everyone has to start into, it's now one choice of many that both people can make, because there will always be people who will feel more comfortable in that traditional structure and prefer it. And that's great for them, you know, and there'll be women and other people who also want to be in that structure, and that's perfectly fine. But the root, I think, of it is that you should now choose that structure rather than having it just default to such a structure. Because one of the worst things that you can be is a passenger in your own life. And I think that if you default to something, and I think that's some of the problems that we find later on in different marriages and things like that, is that people only examine their choices much later. And they go, wait, was this actually the life that I wanted? Was this the life that I chose myself? Or did I just go with the flow and was, and, you know, drifted along into this choice? So that's primarily how, I suppose, those gender roles shifting deals with, you know, society and structure in general. But now gender itself has shifted. And, you know, gender itself was always very fluid. It's only just now that it's being recognized. And again, you find that there's this sort of frustrated guttural response from some sectors where they say, no, you know, you know, if I kind of think of like Hungary's politics at the moment, where they're like, no, there's only men and women and there's nothing in between. And we just know that's not true. We know that from research that's not true. But the reason that people do that is because they feel threatened on some level. And they really shouldn't, because like what other people choose to do internally and identify themselves internally has nothing to do with anyone else. What has to do with other people is that how you interact with the societal structure, but who you choose to be inside is something that, again, is something that you will feel and you will have a choice in now, which I think is an overall positive. That can definitely conflict with traditional views of masculinity, especially if there's a conflict between an older person and their son or their daughter or, you know, their transgender child. Those differing views of masculinity, the emerging masculinity, which is more, you know, choice-driven, a bit softer, more vulnerable, versus the sort of hardline invulnerability of the traditional view, that conflict is something that we do see in the practice and can lead to a lot of issues for both parties. So I think overall there's a very positive shift. And I think the positive shift is primarily because there's a choice now. It's no longer, like I said, a you know, sort of one lane structure. You can now choose the life you have and what type of life you want, which I think should be viewed in a positive light. But the negatives are that there is going to be conflict between people who perhaps misunderstand, or people who are feeling frustrated, or people who are feeling threatened, I guess. Yeah.
I really liked what you said then. It really stuck with me about being a passenger in your own life. And I agree that it's very true that we do have a lot more agency in our lives now than we ever did before. And I suppose it does also make sense that if you are so used to existing in a particular system and it's always sort of worked this way, that as soon as things start to change, and especially if that change is quite a dramatic flip in the opposite direction, it can take some time to get used to that idea. And I suppose also take some time to recognize the positive in the situation and how that switch might actually benefit you. And I sort of just had a final question that sort of links to all of this together. So although we have started to address the stigma surrounding mental health, particularly with regards to men, it's very clear there's still a lot that needs to change. So I was just wondering, in your opinion, what sort of changes do you think needs to happen in order to better support men with mental illness as well as their mental health in general?
Yeah, so that's a good question. I think it's multi-layered. So the one is with society and people, family members. And, you know, it's not only sort of men that need to change, or at least, you know, be open to their ideas of masculinity being different or, you know, more vulnerable. It's also about knowing that you're, you know, for the other family members and other people in society to recognize that they don't have to view their male colleagues, their fathers, their husbands, as to examine if they're viewing them as invulnerable silos, you know, or invulnerable monoliths who, you know, don't change and don't feel, you know, weak and broken at times. So I think one is to recognize that someone who is recognizing mental health issues in men. So mental health does present differently in men than it does in women a lot of the time, especially with depression, anxiety. I think I said this in the previous podcast, but with men in depression, you know, one of the chief sort of presenting symptoms is irritability. And you'll find that a lot with guys, that they present with irritability and anger rather than sadness and, you know, feeling down and And the reason for that is because I suppose anger is a more powerful emotion. So it's easier to access for some people, especially men. And also they'll try to self-medicate with alcohol or substances. And so you end up with this like angry person who's using alcohol and drugs, and it makes it very hard to sympathize with them. And actually the underlying cause is depression. And I think, like I said before, it's not about condoning that behavior. It's not about, you know, saying that it's okay to be angry and drunk and do all this, you know, because you're depressed. But there's a difference between condoning something and understanding it. So you can understand something without condoning it. But I think understanding and recognizing it is a good step forward to being able to ask men to seek help. And I think that if everyone around them is supportive in seeking help, it makes it easier for someone to go and seek help. And that applies to everyone, not just men. So being more tolerant of mental health and sort of understanding and educating yourself that, you know, there may be things that are more complex than what's on the surface. The second thing I think is for men themselves to be open to the idea that they are actually vulnerable and that life is a lot bigger than we are, you know, and it can really come down hard on us sometimes. And it's okay to crumble a little bit and to feel like you're not okay. And to, even if you're not sure if you're okay or not, to maybe just go and speak to someone to check if you're doing okay or if you need help or if something is gravely wrong, before it gets to the point where you are completely overwhelmed and, you know, at the point of suicide. So I think those two parts. And the other part, I think, is the mental health service itself recognizing situations where men, you know, and screening men actively for depression and anxiety. Obviously, there are other mental illnesses like schizophrenia, which are more common in men, which I think we actually do screen for pretty well, but schizophrenia is quite a, you know, it can be subtle, but a lot of the time it's quite obvious when it's happening and people recognize something is very wrong, as opposed to depression, anxiety, where people might feel like this person's just being a bit difficult or they're, you know, oh, you know, don't worry, they'll pass. And the truth is maybe that is true some of the time. It might just be a, you know, circumstantial thing and it will pass, but it also might not be. And if you're worried at all, I would say go and see someone, just go have a chat to a psychologist, a psychiatrist, and check. The other way would be to involve the structures that men typically involve themselves in sort of like screening for mental health. You know, so religious institutions like mosques and churches and that kind of thing. You know, if we could better educate, and we have done in some instances, better educate clergymen about mental health and screening their men for mental health, that can lead to a lot of growth and recognition. Because coming from an outside source. But yeah, there are other institutions like sporting institutions and that kind of thing. And just what you said about, you know, when things are a certain way and they're flipped and it's difficult and takes time, that's absolutely true, it does. And I think a lot of the issue is also the fact that as harmful as it is to have to try to be invulnerable and powerful, you know, it has had advantages for society, for men in terms of being in powerful positions. And, you know, essentially what we're asking people to do is to kind of let go of some of that power, not because it's, you know, I mean, one, because it's in the best interest of everyone to sort of share the podium and, you know, to, and most men are very, you know, what's the word? Conducive to that, because, you know, like men, you generally aren't monsters. Like, we kind of understand that equality is important and we want to try to help, aren't really sure how to. But it leaves people in a very strange position of not knowing what their part in society is now supposed to be. And discovering that is a difficult part because it also involves letting go of some of that power. Because, and not just because of the equality, it's also because some of that expectation of power, at least, is what's hurting us. So thank you for having me on. And those are just some of my thoughts, ramblings, I guess, about mental health, masculinity, and men's mental health.
Yeah, thank you, Adam. Men's mental health is obviously a very important and long overdue conversation. And I'm hopeful that the general conversation that's been happening translates into some actual tangible change, both in social norms and in the structures that support us and care for us. It's been so interesting to hear your perspective, both as a man and as a mental health professional. I just want to say thank you for taking the time to speak with us today.
Thanks for having me.